sit down. Keep all hands and feet inside the ride at all times. Or down, I don't care. We are not responsible for any lost belongings. Your shit is our shit now. You have made your choices in life. And as you will notice, there are no pearly gates here, so hold on tight and embrace the darker side of life. Because this ride takes your soul straight down to Hell's Basement.
What? Oh my god, are you shitting me?
Stocking a bunch of their shirts on Poshmark, though.
Jenna just wears poor people horror shirts.
Secondhand.
No. Sad. I secondhand Blackcraft horror shirts. Thank you. But then shipping went up, so, ugh.
Oh, I don't know.
Nothing like supporting a small business.
All right. Welcome, everyone, to Hell's Basement. I'm Ryan. I'm here with Shane.
Fuck you, Ryan.
We got Brady.
Hello.
And we got Jenna.
Good evening.
It's been a while, but we're back, guys. We're back, and we're fucking ready. Well, I mean, I'm ready.
Time will tell.
Time will tell who's all ready.
I'm going full NPR in this episode, by the way.
I like it. I'm not fully ready. I didn't know we were getting ready to start, so I didn't grab a beer, but I'll suffer through into our break.
Seriously asked, are you ready? And you said, I'm ready.
I did not say that.
Yes, you did.
All right. So Shane got his beer, so now we're good to go.
We are good.
Okay. So, yeah, we're back, and this week we're going to talk about the Robert Eggers film, 2015, The Witch, which is, see what I did there? One of my favorite fucking movies.
Which is?
That's pretty much it. I'm done.
Okay. Roll that beautiful bean footage.
Shut it off. We're good.
No, this definitely was my pick, though. And, yeah, I've been obsessed with this movie since the day I seen it. This is one of those ones that I actually watched this for the first time very early in the morning. It was dark. I'll never forget. And I had to, like, go outside for something, and it was still dark, and I was absolutely fucking terrified to even look at trees. Like, I've never seen a movie make the woods look so scary and not really do a whole lot.
Blair Witch Project? That's like the definition of that movie. Okay,
that's another good one.
Army of Darkness?
Oh, you're about to get ripped apart, dude.
A tree effed a woman.
Oh, yeah. Well, all right.
Jenna?
I'm just trying to withhold because I have some strong opinions as well, and I know that Ryan and I butt heads a little bit, so.
Anything to do with trees?
No.
Okay, moving
Nothing
on.
Nothing there.
You're definitely supposed to say Sleepy Hollow. That was your moment, but.
Yeah.
Well, what's scary about Sleepy Hollow? That's just beautiful.
The village is some pretty, for the first watch.
Yeah, I mean, like.
Like, that's artwork worthy.
So what's another, somebody else's hot take on this? Somebody give me a first take.
I thought the rocks were pretty scary.
All right.
Oh, fuck yeah. This is what this is going to be, isn't it?
Wait, don't we usually go around and we say the, would you watch it? Come on, we got to refresh our memories here. We do, though. Well, like, what would you rate it? And would you say you'd watch
go
it?
Go right out of the gate with that? All
yeah.
Right.
That's isn't
the,
that what we do?
That's at the end, but okay.
Oh, okay, yeah. Never mind.
Yeah, it's only been 2 years, so I understand we could forget some things.
I need a fresh start. Restart.
No, Jenna, what's your first thought when you've seen it for the first time?
So the first time, I absolutely loved it. But that was a while ago. So, of course, for this, I rewatched it, and I did not enjoy it. It wasn't a rewatch enjoyment for me.
Whoa.
I know. I'm sorry.
We're going to disagree.
Okay. All right. Brady?
Beautiful. I mean, first thing that gets you is cinematography.
Mm.
And this director is also... He does a lot with... the absence of sound that he's, or I guess he does as much with the absence of sound as he does with sound.
Right. I agree.
So, great film.
I had a feeling you were going to say that. Cause I remember we did Hereditary and I knew that you said the same exact thing, that you loved the cinematography. And I feel like there's a lot of similarities to me anyway. I don't know anything about that stuff. You do. Do you agree or no?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's
like
it's,
the sound effects and everything seem kind of similar.
So with this movie, what's ironic about that is they only used instruments as sound and more like classical instruments, and they actually built everything by hand, and they didn't have a bunch of like recording lights. So I actually did really like that about this, but that's also why it gives you that vibe and why some things seem harder to hear and see is because they didn't have all the technology usually would when you record. And I thought that was pretty cool. So, like, they actually hand-sewed all the outfits that they wore. They built everything just like they would in those days.
Yeah, they did a really good job of making it a period piece, you know what I mean? That's very in that time. Shane, what was your thoughts?
Well, like, the very first time I watched it, at the end of it, I was like, so what did any of them say? Like, did anybody fucking understand anything? But, I mean, it was great the first time through, especially, I don't know, I don't even know if I consider it like a slow burn, but it kind of gives you that vibe a little bit. I feel it's not so much a slow burn as just a really good story, I guess. It just has a great fucking ending.
Yeah, I would consider it a slow burn.
Would you?
Yeah, I think it's definitely, you kind of said it, it has a lot of Hereditary's, you know, it feels a lot like the same
setting up the scene.
Yeah, but it's intense. Is what I'm getting. Like throughout the whole movie, has that intense feeling.
Right. Not to spoil anything with Hereditary, but there's a lot of the same things as far as a family going through a lot of hardship, and you don't really know why until, you know, the movie progresses. Hereditary kind of drops a fucking major bomb though at the end. That's, you know, but this movie does pretty good, I think, too.
Yeah, and then this is where I totally disagree with Jenna. I feel like every single time I watch it, I like it more because I understand them more. I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but I feel like I understand their language the more I watch this fucking movie.
It definitely does, because the more times I watch it also, the more little things I pick up that I didn't remember, like that they're adding in random stuff, you know what I mean, that you just don't see on a first watch, second watch.
So two things off of that. One thing is the sound is what really does it for me. So if you don't watch it in a place with the surround sound or the quality, I think it really affects the movie. Because I'm there trying to like turn it up 1 second and then it's like, bah, bah, and like blows my eardrums out the next second.
Yeah, I feel your pain.
So it's pretty hard.
I feel your pain.
Yeah, I did that on purpose. But then Ryan touched base on the second part, which is what I was going to say later if you attack me, but... So I don't like it as a horror movie. Like, I don't think of it as like, yeah, I'm going to watch a horror movie.
Here comes that Disney filter.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
When I think of it as a period piece, and this is actually not my Disney filter, but more my religious filter. And if I think more of like the religion and then the period and then what they're trying to do there, like, yeah, I really like it. If I almost think of it as a documentary, but that sounds horrible.
Yes, it does sound horrible.
But, like, I really enjoyed it, you know? Like, it has a vibe like an Adam and Eve vibe from the Bible, but then at the same time it pulls in, like, a Salem witch trials vibe. So there's, like, two other things you can relate to this movie that's really historic, and I like that. Like, I could dive into that.
Yeah, I mean, crushing up newborn babies is kind of scary.
I mean, but, you know, documentary, man. I love that.
So I'm going to ask you to go ahead and elaborate off of this connection you're making between this and Adam and Eve.
So the Adam and Eve part purely kind of starts out of like, okay, so they're Puritans, right?
Correct.
So you have to look at they really are big on the sins. So I think of that as they play a lot on nudity, okay? And like that was a big thing with Adam and Eve. Like it wasn't bad to be nude until that sin was there. And then they touch base on that not only with the witch, like not like the like kind of chubby naked witch. You know what I'm saying? Like, she's nude the whole time. And then even when Caleb comes back in that one scene, he's nude. So I think they touch base on that. And Caleb is really what made me dive into that, because even during his whole, whatever you would call possession, he has the apple. And I believe, I wish I could remember it word for word, but he actually quotes something about Adam and Eve when the rotten apple comes out of his mouth.
Well, that's some serious fucking deep diving.
You know, that's
I've got no rebuttal.
Really?
Yeah, fuck it. You win.
Okay, mic drop. Look at that.
Yeah, I didn't remember him saying anything about Adam and Eve, but I'm not going to say that he didn't either, so...
Well, oh yeah, because, you know, you only have to turn it up to fucking 5,000 to hear him say it.
Okay. All right.
But then the dad, too, you know? Like, he kind of has the false idol of himself. Like, he's very prideful. And isn't that kind of why they got banished at the very beginning? Was because of the dad, like... With his pride, like you let the pride get the best of him?
Yeah, well, I think it was, I guess I would call it pride. Isn't it because basically he saw the Bible differently from everyone else in the village, so he was like, fuck you, I'm out, bitches?
Yeah, well, yeah, basically his whole thing was the whole reason they came from England to the New World, he didn't think that they were religious enough, we'll say. So when they came to the New World, he thought they were going back the way the English were doing it. So he was like, why did we even come over here if you're just going to do it the same way we did it over there? This is pointless. So that's why he went his own way.
Okay. So with the Puritan religion, like, his character was really hard for me because of that, because they're definitely stuck in the, like, male role, female role, real hardcore providing. And I could sense, like, his character is supposed to be struggling with that a lot. Like, I know there is something about him obsessing over cutting wood because everything he else did, like, it failed horribly. Like, he can't grow a crop for the life, but let me chop some more wood. So I thought that was all touching base on that.
Winters are kind of tough in the Northeast, Jenna. Like,
you kind of need wood. That? Like, even at the end, like, that's all he did right. And then that's ironically what crushed him. Like, is that huge ass pile of wood.
There was witches.
Yeah, the fucking...
There were witches fucking
He kind of had some fucking other shit go on that kind of affected, you know, his daily life.
No. I think that is all his own fucking fault. Oh, I think the witches are there because they were offering a better lifestyle because he made their life shitty and he couldn't grow shit.
Talk about quitting when you're ahead, man.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have some stuff jotted down for later on to bring a true history, you know, of all what I just said to light, but... So anyways, what's some favorite scenes? Let's talk more about the movie. We'll get into like a lot of the history stuff later. What was your favorite scene, Jenna?
So truthfully, although it's kind of uncomfortable, and I think that's why it's my favorite, is I did like the development of Caleb. I can't say it's one scene, but his sin was definitely lust.
How he wanted to fuck his sister, you mean?
Well, and that's even like how he would indulge in pleasure, and that's like how the witch got him. So I just think seeing that innocent boy trying to step into the roles of, like, hunting with his father, having that sin weigh over him, and then him knowing, like, deep down I'm going to go to hell for this, and just his struggle, like, I just think his whole character was very interesting to follow throughout it.
So you like Caleb because he was upset about being in love with his sister?
Sorry, Caleb.
Is that why you like him?
Unlucky for Caleb because his sister has nice boobs.
Well, that, I mean, like... They literally live in the middle of the woods, and he's, like, in puberty.
Yeah, he has no other females. Yeah. It's either his mom, his 4-year-old sister, or the hot one. I mean, who's he going to pick?
Right, right. Come on. He was killing a lot of rabbits, and if I remember a clip from a certain movie, what was it, Grandma's Boy? He's like, oh, me and my girlfriend were watching you on TV last night. He's like, is that what you call that piece of rabbit fur you rub on your dick? So, I guess what I'm trying to say is he's just fucking dead rabbits. Oh, you know what? I don't think I'm going to make it through this episode without that swearing.
Yeah, he said he quit swearing like 10 minutes before he got here. But
oh, really?
He failed already.
We'll edit that out.
Okay.
It's your turn for your favorite scene, so you're on a roll now. You might as well bust him out.
I have a feeling it's the obvious one. It was all the titties at the end. No. It was definitely when she signed the book.
Yeah.
I mean, just that, like, I say that phrase, and I mean, it's no secret, we're going to get into it, but I mean, the whole, like, wouldst thou like to live deliciously? Like, I say that shit all the time.
So iconic.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Like, bring my wife a coffee in the morning, just go behind her. Wouldst thou like to live deliciously?
Dude.
Or do you not want sugar?
You know, another thing? This is the first time I ever watched this on my phone with headphones in, like my AirPods. Mm-hmm. I was laying in bed, and that part came on. Dude, that shit gave me fucking, like, chills.
Yeah.
The way he, holy fuck, so creepy.
He did a good job of picking the creepiest voice possible.
Well, that and the father, like, that dude's voice is, like, just gold. Like.
Yeah. They picked very, very good actors and actresses in this movie. Very good. God, Shane, what was your favorite?
Yeah, sorry to steal it from you, dude, but, I mean, it's obvious. It's her making that final decision of basically saying, fuck it after that.
I mean, what
die in the woods or
right.
Well, yeah. She was accused of it so much. Like it's kind of like a perfect example of you somebody telling you that you're something so many times where you're just like, oh, fuck it. Guess I am, you know?
Agreed. Or you got a different one?
I mean, if I had to pick my favorite, I mean, that is my favorite scene. I will say one of my favorite characters is Jonas and Mercy, mainly Mercy. The way she just fucking all the time just calling her out, you know, she's a witch, and just all the crazy shit she comes off with just fucking cracks me up throughout the whole movie.
That surprises me so much because they are the definition to me of the most annoying kids.
Oh, no, they
make me. And where you stand with kids? Well, here, Shane, This is my other favorite scene because it went a little unnoticed, but you have to like put all the pieces together. So I know you'll love it with me. At the end, do you know like what was fueling the fire that gave them the ability to rise?
I was going to ask if that was...
It was the twins!
Yeah, it was Jonas and Mercy. Yeah.
Was that
beautiful.
Was that obvious though? Like, would you?
No, I didn't know that. I'm just now finding this out.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's speculation. We don't know that for sure.
No,
but
it's
fact. No, it's not.
It's fact, Ryan. Do your research. Come on. Dude,
Robert Eggers
said it was
fact.
You tried to head this podcast. Do your research.
Where did you see that those two kids are in that fire?
The book of We're Right. Own Businessopedia.
Fucking idiot.
I think they sell that door to door now.
Yeah, I think so.
Like back in the
80s. I'm going to kill the fucking guy who sells it too.
Well, I have to give you some other stuff. You guys are here like, yeah, that same scene, man.
Well, I mean, it's so good, man. Oh,
I mean,
so
yeah,
good.
It's a sexy voice. It's a sexy voice. I'll
it
give
is
you
a
that.
Sexy voice. God damn.
They picked a good voice and a really cute freaking goat.
Do you know that they went through, like, there was, I think, three different goats they had?
They killed three goats to make this movie?
Yeah.
Whoa.
But they didn't...
Say the line!
they didn't cooperate very well, I guess. The goat was always fucking doing a bunch of crazy shit, but...
Eating tin cans and stuff. I don't know much about goats.
Yeah, they do.
Cartoons teach me anything.
They do their thing, you know?
So this movie was definitely like a self-fulfilling prophecy, wouldn't you say?
Self-fulfilling prophecy.
So that ties into how, like, she was just accused from the beginning. It's the same thing as what they say all the time about the Salem witch trials, is like if enough people say it, like it happens kind of thing.
Okay. Yeah, I would kind of think. Do you guys think that Thomason was the goal from day one?
No, I think she was.
She was as in who?
Thomason.
Was what?
Was what? I just said, do you think she was the goal?
I thought you meant Caleb. I'm a hot mess. Leave me alone.
Oh, God.
See, it bothers me because for the longest time, I could not figure out what her name was.
All right, well, so there's Thomason. That's played by Anna Taylor-Joy. That's the daughter, okay? You have William, which is the dad, Ralph Ineson. Catherine Kate Dickey, which is the girl from Game of Thrones, who gets, you know, she's just a lot of boobs with her. Yeah, she, remember in the Game of Thrones, you know, the kid's sucking on her boob all the time, and now this one, the crow's getting her boob. It's just always something.
I mean, once you sort of lift the veil on your boob,
it's just always there.
You may
man.
As well just put it in every movie.
Yeah, and then you got Caleb, who's Harvey Shrimshaw. Mercy is Ellie Granger. Jonas is Lucas Dawson, which Jonas and Mercy, the two twins. Caleb's a boy. Yeah, it's
pretty,
pretty
easy.
Were
any of the
there.
Three goats credited?
No, they weren't, sadly. No, nope. Shedley. I know. That's horse shit.
Who played the devil?
Yep. Let's see who played it. I didn't write it down. I don't know.
Oh. About to miss
Can
something.
I redeem myself there?
He did an actual cameo.
Yeah. Oh, sweet.
But yes, I do think she was the main goal because a lot of times when it comes to these kind of storylines, it is like the young virgin who is kind of the outcast and you can kind of see her longing and wanting to be accepted. Because even at the beginning, like, you could tell she was a little bit like, oh, I don't like all this happening. I don't like these changes.
Well, she kind of got the short end of the stick in a lot of this fucking film. So, at the beginning, they went to the woods. William and Caleb went to the woods. She got blamed for that. He sold her Catherine's silver cup. Fucking blamed her for it. Well, she got the blame, and they didn't stick up for her for that. Then shortly after that, they're talking about fucking selling her away to a family. They're going back to the village, you know. So she just kept getting fucked over, like, time after mm-hmm. time after time after time.
And she is left with no choice at the end.
No.
Like, truthfully, going with the devil was the best bet for her.
Well, I mean, it's the best bet for
I mean, anyone, even so. If she would make it back to the village, she'd just be killed. I mean, A, she's going to be accused as being a witch, and then she killed her mother. Like, there's no coming back from that.
Yeah, she did. She did quickly grab that knife, which I kind of respect. But yeah.
No, I think she waited. It was a last resort, but nobody would believe that.
Last resort. She was just getting punched. I mean,
she was getting choked out, man.
No, she wasn't. She was getting punched. Then she sliced her with a knife, and then she was getting choked
well,
out.
I mean, have you then seen the mom?
Then
she kind of had it coming.
I think it was all just very tragic. I'm more so the mindset that there was no plan. It was just a bunch of religious freaks came out into their woods, and then they're like, let's just fuck with these people.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, well, we could probably recruit the daughter.
Yeah. Okay, no, okay. That's kind of where I'm at. I think that's what I meant, though. Like, when they landed on that place, they were like, we're getting Thomason. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think that was kind of the
I think
plan.
So, because she was, they framed her twice. You know, that so she, obviously she's framed for the baby. And then whenever Caleb goes into the woods. So I would say that she was the goal.
Did any of you guys feel kind of let down during the climaxes, though?
Let down?
No.
So,
what do you mean, let down?
It could be quite a bit more gory. Like, they didn't really show a lot of what happened. They kind of cut out.
It was classy.
Yeah, I mean, I guess
I mean, the whole movie just kind of, it's just not that kind of film, man. It's just, it's a beautifully.
I would like to see a little bit more of, like.
I mean, I think they gave
like
us.
Some, like, Kill Bill, like.
Yeah, I think they gave us enough. I think it would just look silly if they did a lot of that stuff, because it's the way it's shot, the way it looks, the way the whole film is designed. It's not to look.
He's puking I think up I just a rotten apple more. Right now. Like, in the scene, okay, when she's locked in the barn with Black Phillip.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like when that witch was there, like, it was such an exciting moment. Like, I was so happy to see the witch there. And then you only see it for, like, 2 seconds. Like, the scenes in this where there's actually those big climaxes happening are so fast. It's like, if you blink, you mix. Like, it's already gone.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's just the way it was all. I think they did very well with that kind of stuff. It's just a different kind of movie. Like, I totally understand when people say they don't like this movie. I get it. It's not for everyone, but the people who like it, fucking like it.
They get it.
They get it.
They get it.
Ooh, Jenna, they're saying you don't get it.
No, I feel like Jenna.
I don't get it, no. I had a lot of deep details here.
Yeah,
you
no,
fuckers.
I'm saying.
I want to be honest. It sounds like somebody else's words.
I'm really shocked though, Jenna. Jenna, I'm really shocked that you don't like rewatching it though, because it's so much shit that you've like. Shane's like, you just keep seeing different shit and like hearing different things. And then if you fucking watch it on subtitles, it even helps even more.
I would do it on subtitles, I feel like I'd be a little happier.
Yeah, because the language is, I mean, it's very accurate to the way it was back then, you know? And I respect the way they did it. Like, I think
what this director does, like, fantastically with his movies is, you don't, when I watch it, I don't feel like I'm watching a movie. I more feel like I'm a fly on the wall in the scene. Like, you know, I don't feel like I'm there, but it's not filmed like a movie. It's filmed like these things are just happening and we're just get to watch.
Yep. That's a very good explanation.
Yeah. Like movies are like scene to scene and this seems like it's just right. One.
And I mean, like you have it playing in the background over there right next to,
the best movie ever.
All right.
Sleepy Hollow.
And I mean, like that's a movie. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, there's,
yeah. They're both very good. They're just very different.
Right. Right.
Very different.
But that feels like a movie. This feels like an experience,
like a documentary.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. I don't want to say it's like a documentary, but it's very he does a very good job of making it as accurate as possible as to the folk tales, you know what I mean, that are being told from time to time, you know.
So just kind of a question here, wasn't the Salem witch trial started by like two siblings? Wasn't it like two little girls that were related, and they started accusing three women, and it all like went from
again.
There. Yeah, it was Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah,
isn't that how it starts with the two girls in the woods?
There was a lot to the Salem witch trials. Like, I mean,
but I'm pretty sure it started with like three people, and they were purely accused, like three women,
yeah.
And it was by two kids.
Yeah,
so
I
didn't know
if siblings,
they did that
yeah.
on purpose, because like, you know, the two twins are definitely the annoying accusers in this. That point, just like when you would watch like documentaries about the Salem witch trials, like the OG ones, that it just had a very similar feel where it was just like, she did it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it was, a lot of that went on back then, just people being accused of, I mean, if you had anything weird, then you were a witch. I mean, it's the way it was, you know?
I think they did a pretty good job of that, too. Well, like you said earlier about how, like, whenever everyone starts saying it eventually makes it true, right? Well, that was one of the things that there's a conspiracy of the witch trial. Another one was,
Urgot.
Urgot, yeah, that's another thing that people would eat this ergot, you know, this rotten fruit, and it makes you all fucked up in the head. So they put that into play where I don't know if that's really what he was going for. If it was any of it would be psychological, I highly doubt it. You know, but
yeah, ergot's like a fungus that grows on crops that causes hallucinations.
Yeah.
So there's a theory that may have been what was going on back in the Salem witch trials. That's why everybody was having fits, quote unquote.
Is that what was affecting his?
Oh, we don't know. They show ergot on the corn.
Yeah.
But actually, though, ergot doesn't really grow on corn. So I don't. I mean, I don't know if he just did that anyways. But yeah,
ergot.
Still kind of cool though.
I'm gonna look into this now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna be
this
real
is gonna
mean
be a
right
Wikipedia
now.
Hole for me.
I'm gonna try it. It sounds fun.
Yeah, let's do it.
It does sound fun. Sounds kind of interesting.
So did anybody else get a feel that he was kind of playing on the whole, what's a way to put it that doesn't make me feel like I'm going to hell?
I think we're a little late for that, dude.
According to the name, you're already there.
Like, yeah. I guess.
You're here
but
right now.
But with religion, there's always those things that you question, right? And the thing that always would like piss me off about religion...
that you're not supposed to do that, stupid fucking idiot.
Is that it's like they're always so quick to point fingers and say this is the way, but then when it happens to you or you're in the situation, they're suddenly like, no, 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 that wouldn't be true. It's God's will. So like with
it's
the baby,
cherry picking.
They did that. Like, when the baby died, they didn't get to baptize it. They make that clear. They bring that up. Like, they didn't get to baptize the baby before it died. And so Caleb asked his dad, like, does this mean the baby's going to hell? Like, that's what you taught me. And the dad's like, oh, I don't. It's in God's hands.
And he just didn't want to tell the kid that, though. Remember the scene later? Whenever, you know, what's her name? Catherine.
Him and Catherine.
Yeah, Catherine was screaming that Samuel's in hell. So
he's like, yeah, shit, we know, dude.
Maybe he was just trying to be a good dad and not be like, your baby brother's definitely fucking burning in hellfire right
now. I'm
not
a dad, but I'm pretty sure that's what dads do. They're just like, no, it'll be okay. And they're like, and deep down, they're like, shit, this isn't okay, you know? It's kind of the way it is, man.
Can't confirm.
Okay, thank you. Yeah. What about, like, all the familiars, though? Has anybody ever been creeped out by a rabbit like that? Like,
is that a familiar? I guess it would have been.
Yeah, they're all familiar. The crow, the rabbit... You know, all of that stuff was just like...
Have I ever been creeped out by a rabbit before?
I like that. Like,
Have you ever seen Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
No. Dude, Benicula?
God damn it. Like, it's such a weird thing to do, to just focus in on a rabbit and play some very crazy string music. And you just be like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. You know what I mean? And then he shoots the gun and it fucking backfires in his face and then the rabbit runs away.
It's just... that boy was going to rape that rabbit.
You're convinced this movie is about Caleb fucking rabbits. Goddamn.
I mean, it was a big part. It was this kid, like, you know.
Options were limited.
They were limited.
He's not judging the kid.
Right.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do, I guess. Well, shit.
You know, you look at your sister's boobs, you get stolen by some witches. And they shove an apple down your mouth, I guess.
That scene, though.
He made out with some chick.
That kid did an amazing. He did an amazing job at that possession scene, though. Like, him reciting all that stuff, fuck, so good.
Too bad you can't remember it, because you made me feel like I was stupid when I brought up the Adam and Eve thing, but...
He's so good, man. So good. All right, so another scene, though, that I really like is, I mean, the beginning, when they steal Sam. I mean, the witch needed Sam to crunch him up and use her for flying ointment.
Flying ointment.
Flying ointment.
Not fly ointment.
Nope, flying ointment.
Like she was trying to keep flies away?
Yeah.
So wait. How do you, this is fact?
Well, it's a folklore tale witch facty thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's embedded in history.
Yeah, actually.
I had
okay.
the opposite. All right. I thought that the baby kept them alive, like kept them young and aging, and I thought when they burned them in the fire during the ritual, that's the only thing that made them fly.
No, so actually, I have, I found a cool article from theconversation.com, The Witch, and it's the facts behind the folktales by Marian Gibson. So this is a quote from this article. In Lancashire in 1612, teenager Grace Sourbutts, funny name, right?
Sourbutts.
She said that three women took her around the countryside, making her dance and have sex with strange black creatures. She added that they broke into a neighbor's house and murdered his sleeping baby by sucking its life out through its navel.
Whoa, rude.
After the child's burial, they dug up the body, boiled, and roasted it. They ate some and saved the rest for flying ointment. The court rejected Grace's evidence, however. Her story was just too unusual in England, even in the age of the witch. It was explained away as the work of a renegade Catholic priest making trouble for good Protestants. Still pretty cool though.
I just like the idea that it's all a court and there's like there's probably like a big long silence and then like some guy's like, horseshit.
He's like, come on. It's pretty interesting.
That's even crazy for us.
It's literally what they said. This is even kind of wild for us, man.
This is a little too wackadoo.
Yeah.
So there's some kind of proof that this actually happened, and then some guy was like, nah. Or is it considered a story? What?
I just like the idea that they're these babies and drinking them like a Capri Sun pack through their umbilical cords.
Oh, new flavor.
You know what that makes me think of? Do you ever see the South Park episode where the dude in the wheelchair, what's the guy that, the Superman guy, what's his name?
Christopher Robin, yeah.
No, yeah.
Christopher Reeves.
God, he fell off a horse. He was Superman. Reeves. Christopher Reeves, thank you. And he learned how to walk by breaking open the fetuses and sucking out their fucking, their juices or whatever. That's exactly what it makes me think.
That's true.
Of.
That's how it happened.
Yeah, pretty wild story, though. Poor Grace. Nobody believed her, though. Imagine it's true, though. Like, she's just like, I'm telling you. The court was a lot different back then.
I don't think it doesn't sound like it was much different.
Yeah, true. Yeah. It's definitely not much better.
Oh, man. Yeah. So the scene with, the scene that I was talking about was kind of based off of sort of an actual case. So pretty wild, though.
Well, you're into it now. What else do you got?
Yeah, so I do actually have some cool information on, Jenna, you were saying earlier, well, I kind of touched on it too when you brought it up about their whole situation, like him leaving the village, you know what I mean, to go to make his own thing. So some people don't know, like they don't understand why William and his family left the safety of the colony or the village, you want to say. So this is from history.com by Dave Roos. So William and his family were Puritans. Puritans were English reformers that sailed overseas and landed in modern-day Massachusetts. So why did they come over here? It all started in 1517 when Martin Luther allegedly nailed his 95 Theses to the church door, which said that God seeked faith and forgiveness and good deeds alone wouldn't get you into heaven. So this put the word out to the Catholics. They might not be doing the right things to get you to the promised land, and this was the beginning of some hesitance towards the Catholic Church. So in 1534, England split from the Roman Catholic Church when King Henry wanted a divorce and the Pope wouldn't grant it. So he was like, I'll do what I want, I'm the king, and he started the Church of England. So now the Puritans didn't see much of a difference between the Catholic Church and the Church of England, so they wanted to reform it. They wanted to eliminate ceremonies and anything that wasn't directly from the Bible, as their beliefs came strictly from the Bible itself. Oddly enough, they thought that the best way to reform the church was to travel far enough, like to travel far from England to the New World. So they traveled across the sea, landed in Massachusetts, and now going back to the movie, the opening scene, William is calling his colony out. He's calling them out by saying, look, you guys aren't Puritan enough. Why did we travel all the way over here just to do the same things we were doing in England? So it was worth it to William to leave the safety of the colony to be able to practice the right religious acts that he thought would get him and his family into heaven. So that's why they left. So, yeah, basically religion meant everything to William and him and his family.
Did they touch on exactly what some of those specific ultra-religious beliefs that William had?
No, I don't think they did. Like, when he basically just was saying that...
Right, that speech.
It was vague. Yeah, it was pretty vague.
Okay, but we didn't really see anything that was like, oh, yeah, you gotta, you know, cut your thumb open and bleed onto the...
No.
Okay.
It was just too close to what they were doing in England, and he was like, why did we even come over here, you know?
I was wondering the same thing, though. I wonder what the difference is, like, why they feel like they have to be so much more hardcore.
Mm-hmm. Well, and then, like, Thomason, like, mentioned a couple times about the glass... Remember the glass windows and stuff like that? Like, they had a pretty nice home, by the sounds of it, in England, from what she was saying. I don't know if you remember those parts, but...
And they left he was just really pissed at, like... He left all his richly and worldly possessions behind for nothing.
For religion.
Yeah.
For nothing.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean...
Well, I think he was good with it. His wife was the one that was...
Our opinion, but yeah. Yeah. I mean, William is really the one who is like, bam, bam, bam. You know what I mean? I mean, Catherine's pretty religious also, but William is fucking hardcore.
So that must have been something was like giving up all of their... That must have been part of the religion was giving up their... earthly possessions because like that was that was it the silver cup or something like that or like some silverware set that was like the only thing that like she had left and you'd think if you would have well maybe they didn't have the opportunity to bring more stuff with them but
yeah it's one of those things you know I don't know how much they really brought back with them as far as when you know when they came over but
well let's hope for a prequel
yeah
what was that would be kind of cool. Did he sell the cup because they needed money, or did he sell the cup just for that reason, because they're not supposed to have worldly possessions like that?
That's a good question. I'm not really sure.
I think they probably needed the money, but that's why he had no problem selling it, and it wasn't like a because it was what? It was her mother's.
Yeah.
Silverware or whatever. So probably, I mean, like religion would say like that's, you know, stealing and
yeah.
But then again, the whole marriage thing and what's yours is mine and mine is yours. But either way, yeah, I mean, it would kind of probably add up, you know, as to why he had no problem selling it. Although yeah, he was keeping it a secret from her. He was getting ready. He was almost ready to let his daughter kind of take the heat for that.
Yeah, he was. Yeah.
He's dying right now in the background, in case anybody's wondering.
Does he?
Yeah.
Oh, pay attention then to see how he falls in the wood at the end. Like I mentioned, Tony, it's a thing.
I like how they did that too with him, how he is the most like religious, hardcore, you don't steer away from it, and the devil's like, oh yeah.
What do you also see too, where he'll pick up the axe and then he just drops it. Like he just realizes that his fate is just destined to be what it is, you know?
See, I thought there was a lot more with his character being like, seeing himself as like the god of the family. See, that's what I thought his whole sin was.
No, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head with the whole pride thing. His whole thing was he had too much pride to, number one, go back to the colony, which he definitely should have did.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the other thing, though, that's kind of the way it was back then. Like,
yeah, but he was the father. He's the like man, the leader.
Right, the man of the house. Like, I mean, he's, yeah, that's back then, like, he was the leader. Nowadays, women are, you know, just as powerful, but today.
Yes,
that's or, I mean, damn they right, are. Ryan.
But back then, that was not the case. Back then. Back then. One more time, back then.
I love how you simpler still, like, time. Struggle to say that to me, though. You're like, oh, damn it,
Jenna. Yeah, I mean, except for Jenna. But, I mean, yeah.
There was a whole scene I saw before, though, where they put the picture of him praying at the table, like, next to, like, a supper with Jesus. I don't know if it was, like, the supper with Jesus, but, like, how his arms are open, like, to the family praying, and if you put it next to that, it apparently looks, like, the same.
Yeah.
Like, wait, he was
in this?
Yeah, like, yeah, there's a scene where he's praying at the table, and he, like, opens his arms, like, with the family, like, praying. And if you put it next to, like, one of those popular Jesus-y photos where he's doing that.
Yeah, it's the Final Supper.
That Jesus-y. Is that? Okay.
Yeah. It's like Kanye's new shoe, right? The Jesus-y.
Yeah, you know.
Jesus.
That was the last scene I watched before I left the house today. I told Katie from here on out, whenever, like, before I take my first bite of Domino's, that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
The Lord have provided
with the this selection Domino's of hot delivery pockets. Woman that likes you a little too much.
Oh, man. So what other facts we got? Any cool history facts that we can teach our listeners?
I just kind of dove into, like, the history. I asked myself, I was like, all right, I want to know where the whole witch thing fucking came from. Like, where is, like, the total beginning of it? And what I got was from history.com. This was apparently a documentary in the History Channel. So I read the article. It was pretty sweet. It says the first record of a witch is from the Book of Samuel in the Bible, which is somewhere between 721 BC to 931 BC. And it's kind of a sweet story. It says King Saul sought the witch of Endor to summon dead Samuel's spirit to defeat the Palestine army.
Samuel!
This sounds like some Old Testament shit right here.
Yeah, and it said, the witch prophesied the death of Saul and his sons, and the next day, Saul's sons died in battle, and Saul killed himself, so witch is totally fucking right. Fuck yeah, Witch of Endor.
Metal. I like it.
Yeah.
Sounds like Lord of the Rings. Nice. Like the Witch of Endor.
So then I got a couple, like, other randos, so you guys want to play a game? So I wrote down,
I do.
Which country had the highest witch execution rate, and we're going from the 1500s to like the
wait. Is this like the Saw Salem movie? Like, am I gonna die?
Are you gonna die?
Like, if I don't play,
which Africa,
yeah, country,
okay.
Africa. That's not a country. That's a continent. Let's go with.
Hold on, I'm gonna give you a hint. Okay,
Australia.
Jenna, calm down. It's like if you think about it really hard. Whenever I will tell you the answer, you're gonna be like, oh, of course, yeah, no surprise there. It's that country,
England,
that killed more people.
Germany?
Brady, you got it.
Yeah.
What?
Because of the Holocaust.
Wait, seriously?
They killed all those gypsies. They did kill gypsies, though.
Yeah, so Germany had the highest execution rate. I read that from the 1500s to, like, the 1660s, they put to death in Europe over 80,000 people.
Okay, next Jesus. Game.
Next what? Game?
Yeah, next game.
Okay, who had the lowest execution rate? Which country? Anybody?
Iceland?
Canada.
I got it. Nope. I'm not giving you any hints.
You got it before you looked it up?
Afghanistan.
Mexico.
Ireland. Not a surprise. Now, come on. They're pretty chill.
Yeah, they are pretty chill. I should have said Canada.
Really? Ireland?
I did say Canada first.
Oh.
Between those years.
Between those years, correct.
Yeah. Okay. I'll go with that.
Nah. That's all I got. I mean, I got a little bit more specifics from the whole, like, Germans executing more people than ever. So,
how did they do it?
It wasn't so much how they did it. They wrote a book. Apparently, these two Germans wrote a book in 1486 called Maleficarum. You guys can look it up and see.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that.
Yeah?
Yeah, the Malus Maleficarum.
Really?
Oh, you said it right. Yeah.
Are you fucking with me right
no,
now?
No, I'm not fucking with you. I'm serious.
I'm fucking with you. I'm hitting right.
No. No. Don't hit me.
Is it on your shelf?
Translates to the Hammer of the Witches. And basically, it's
the
like
book.
A...
It's the book.
Huh?
It's the book.
Yeah. Are you still fucking with me right
no,
now?
I'm not fucking with you.
I will fucking hit you.
You didn't say it was a book. I just said it was a book.
You did say it was a book. This is why I think now I'm on Shane's side. I think you might be fucking with him.
Are you fucking with me right now? No. Anyway, it's basically a how-to guide on how to hunt and interrogate witches. And for 100 years, it was the second most sold book.
Next to the Bible.
Boom. Man, you guys know your shit.
I'm not fucking with you, man.
Are you fucking with me right now?
Is it still in print?
That's a good question. I don't know. I wonder if they did make like a remake. I'm sure whatever it is, it's in German. We can't read it, so.
Well, I'm sure it's probably been translated since then.
Guten Tag. It's gotta be. Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen.
That means
Wiener Schmitz.
That means goodbye. I only know like a few words and the alphabet.
Dubenstein Scheistenkopf. That's you are a piece of shit.
I always love the people who just learn the swear words of the languages.
That's me. You love me.
True.
Oh, speaking of that.
Punta.
I didn't know that the Lady Gaga song Sheeb or whatever means shit.
You didn't know that?
I used it for dance. We competed and traveled.
Oh,
and it wasn't
God.
Until the recital, one of my kids, who was in German in high school, told me. So we went traveling around competing with shit.
That's all right.
No.
You guys pick a lot of inappropriate songs, so.
You guys are me, because there's a little
I don't know who picks the songs.
I feel like it's probably me. So,
moral June 10th.
Of the movie. Groupthink and scapegoating is bad. Okay. Make America great again. Stop doing that.
Well, how is it bad?
Because that's how y'all get killed, right?
All but one person who fucking totally won in the end.
Yeah,
if you're that one person.
It. She kind of won at life, man.
Yeah, the rest of them were a bunch of cunts.
Well,
yeah.
I'm talking about our history now.
With a capital C.
Because the whole thing about accusing witches, like, that was all just, like, groupthink. And people would be like, listen, here's your option. You admit to it or I hang you. What would you like?
Yeah, they were a bunch of cunts.
So I guess your moral is that Black Phillip offers free will and preservation and beautiful things.
All hail Black Phillip.
And payment.
What's thou like to live deliciously? No, that's pretty good. Hey, you know what he says, like, would thou like the taste of butter? You know why he says that, though? Because apparently, I didn't even write this down, I just kind of remembered it.
Look
butter,
at you go.
Butter, to eat butter apparently back then was like more of a sin than like anything.
Oh, dude, fuck these people. You know seriously. Oh my God.
Isn't that weird?
Would thou like to eat butter?
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird. I don't know.
Can I try it? That sounds cool.
Yeah, go ahead.
You ready? You guys want to eat some butter?
Hey, guys.
What if that's how he did? It was just Black Phillip and he's just like, Well, you want to eat some
Listen,
butter?
We have the technology. There's nothing stopping us from fully...
Remaking it?
No, just dubbing the entire movie.
Other than that, though, the only other thing I got is, I mean, since we're in beautiful USA, I wrote down the first person killed in the Salem witch trials, June 10th, 1692, Bridget Bishop, which I feel is like the big point.
Her and Abigail.
She's the earliest recorded...
In the Salem witch trials.
Okay.
Yeah, she's like the OG. But I didn't really get into anything else in the Salem witch trials. I was doing like the more history of the witch in general.
Yeah, I didn't do any... I mean, I know like some random shit about Salem, but I didn't write down any facts on it. Did anybody else or no?
What about the sisters from... what's that movie?
Hocus Pocus?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anderson sisters or something like that?
Sanderson. Winnie, Mary... Sarah?
Wait a minute. So the only thing, and I don't want to say it's factual because I think I just got it from a TED Talk, but it was three sisters, but that's not their names on the TED Talk I listened to. So on the TED Talk, it was one called, like, Titiba. Titiba.
Yeah, all right. Titiba. Yeah.
And then Sarah Good and Sarah Osbourne.
Titiba's the one that was like, yeah, I'm a fucking witch.
She was the slave.
Yeah, but she had, like, no way out from it.
She was a slave.
Yeah, and then one of them was, like, pregnant. And then the baby died, and then they killed her daughter, too.
Don't be a witch.
Or be a witch.
Yeah. Maybe if they would actually be a witch, that wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, that probably would have got them out of it, honestly.
Right?
I think Titiba, she survived, though. She was fine. I mean, she's dead now, but...
Yeah, but what are the Sanderson
sisters? Why do I know Titiba? Was this taught in school?
That's a fucking movie.
That's Hocus Pocus.
Wait, but they're not actually based on...
No...
Was Ted talking about Hocus Pocus? Is that where all your facts are from, Jenna? No.
Are you fucking high?
Who's Ted?
Yeah, who the fuck is Ted?
He should not be talking to you. At all.
Some weird guy, like, in the back of a van sees Jenna walking down the street with, like, a Hocus Pocus shirt on. Hey, come on over to my TED Talk.
He doesn't work anywhere. He just has a name tag. He just has a name tag though that says Ted. Like he doesn't work anywhere. He just says his name.
I kidnap people. My name's actually David, but this throws a lot of people off.
Keeps me out of prison.
So
what do you got?
What do you got?
Oh my God, I don't know.
That was the TED Talk.
That was it. All right.
No. Round of applause. We already touched base on some of it. So I only related it because I thought there were two kids that did all the accusing for their story and the same thing from the witch. We talked about the weird fungus brain. I don't know. What else do you want?
I feel like Jenna just crossed off a big chunk of her notebook that we had to do with the girls from Hocus Pocus and how they were real. Of course they weren't real. Yeah, no, I'm done talking.
I guess that's all I got.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm a little upset that they're not real. I thought they were real.
Wow.
I mean, I don't think their house in Salem.
I don't think they're real. That's not their house. That's fucking Max Dennison's house.
You're like destroying my childhood.
No, you know what, Jenna? Now that I do remember, they were real.
Thank you.
Yep.
God damn
it. Is Santa not real either?
You can go see City Hall.
Whoa.
Can go see
my kids listen to this podcast. Shh, keep your fucking mouth shut.
Aunt Jenna doesn't mean it.
Keep Santa's name out your fucking mouth. Oh,
I'm not going to lie. I did think they were based on a true story.
I mean, you could be fucking... I don't even know anymore.
You think I'm right?
No.
Oh.
But I'm not going to say you're not right, because I don't know.
That's right. But they kind of do the same evil stuff, just in a lighter way. Like, they're taking the kids for their youth and to fly and everything.
I mean, that's just a witch thing, man.
Do you know the song?
Come Little Children?
Yeah.
Yeah? What about... I made your daughter dance to that song.
It's kind of weird.
Sounds like a hostage situation, isn't it?
All right, so I think we covered a good part of the movie. Covered some historical facts. Let's give some closing thoughts.
Hey, before we give our closing thoughts,
okay.
I think it's time. While the names and date are fictional, the gruesome siblings on screen were indeed loosely based on the victims of the real Salem witch trials.
Whose names were?
There you go, Jenna. You win.
Just as the Sanderson sisters.
You know when you pulled that up on Google, you should just put your phone down. You know that, right?
Yeah.
If that's it's not on from... the internet, it's true.
It's all right. I can edit it all out.
I hate you so much.
We don't want to make Jenna seem like she knows what she's talking about. That was my point.
What was the website? Was it...
the goal is here to make Jenna
What's that
look
crappy
bad,
one
okay?
where they just do like 5-minute like DIY things now?
I just made it all up, so...
Yeah, see? There we go.
You stupid bitch.
All right, so... All right, we summed a lot of stuff up here.
That's it. I'm signing the book. You guys are awful. It's the only way out.
Yeah. Always sign the book when offered.
Yeah.
What's your closing thoughts on the movie? We'll give a rating as we always do, even though it's been 2 years, almost. Let's give some ratings, Jenna. What's your overall thoughts and rating on this movie?
Why do I have to go first?
All right, Brady.
Give me
8.5. No. What do we do it out of 100?
Out of 100.
85.
85?
Yeah.
Okay. Overall thoughts? This is just a good...
Good movie. I agree with what we touched on earlier. Every time you watch it, you see something new. You hear a little bit more. I recommend watching it with the subtitles at least once.
Mm-hmm. I feel attacked.
Do you not know how to read? Yeah. I mean, that would...
Why else would you
that
feel
would,
attacked?
That would kind of like make sense with your notes you got going on there.
That are now just one big scrape.
Yeah. I mean, I see they are done in crayon.
With a lot of drool. Yeah.
The back of like a Little Mermaid coloring book.
Oh, God. Don't worry. There's a lot of pentagrams on it, too, guys. Yeah. Don't worry.
Yeah. If it just, it's, watch it in the dark with a great sound system with no interruptions. Start to finish. That's the way to watch it. If you can't give it that, then don't watch it until you can give it that kind of attention.
Shane?
Agreed. I'm going to say I'll give it an 80, and if anything deserves a higher score than that. And I agree with Brady what he said. The only thing I would add to that is wait another week after that and then watch it again, because I feel like it just gets better the more you watch it. You did kind of bring up a good point, Brady did. Whenever you ask me, do you think that she just felt defeated, or do you think she really wanted to be a witch? So what are your thoughts on that? Anna, or what's her name in the movie? I call her Anna Taylor-Joy.
Thomason,
that's it.
I think, from the expression on her face all the way to like her walking out to the woods, I mean, she looks drained. She looks like she's got nothing left in her. So I think personally that's, she's just sort of like, fuck it. Yeah. What's the saying? Jesus take the wheel, except for, you know, Satan take the wheel.
Really? That's, can I get my 2 cents? I kind of think the other way, man. I think she was like always low key, kind of like, this is interesting. Like, not like she wanted to be a witch, but she was always, even she was fucking around at that little bit when she was saying, when Mercy called her out, when Caleb was staring at her tits and stuff down by the creek. Like, she was like making that joke, like, I be the witch of the wood, you know, and like she's making a joke about it and stuff. Then as you like progress throughout, like, she just kind of, I don't know, she just kind of gives off that vibe that she's like not totally against it. And then even at the very end, when it came down to it, she wasn't like, I don't think she looked scared. I think she looked like interested.
See, oh, really?
That's where I think, like, that little smile that she gave.
She did give a smile?
Yeah. But that's where I agree.
When she's looking at the fire?
Yeah, when she started levitating, she gave that, like, oh, yes.
Oh, okay. See, I don't.
See, but not until then. See, I disagree throughout the movie because she prays way too much to try and make it be different. And she begs to not be put in that barn. She begs for them to believe her. She truly tried until there was no other option.
Yeah,
told them what she wanted them to hear.
I'm saying there was very subtle things throughout, but I'm saying at the very, toward the last like 10 minutes of the movie.
Yeah.
She could have, you know, been way more, she could have fucking ran away. Like, she could have just ran.
Yeah, to what? Her death?
She could have ran to the colony, said that something... Well, what?
You act like the colony is next door. Like, let me get an Uber to the colony.
We don't know how far away they went.
it's a day's ride.
Do we know? Yeah, it's a day's ride
on horseback.
Yeah.
She could have ran.
How many days on the back of
Philip? Sure, Brian. Let's be a female with no food and just run covered in blood in the woods to our colony where they're going to immediately murder us because we're a witch who just murdered our family.
I mean, I have a lot of faith in the females that are strong, you know, that can do that. So.
I hate you so much.
Anyways, Jenna, what's your rating?
I would probably have to give it like a 60 because there's so many movies out there that I just enjoy so much, like enjoy rewatching, get so much out of it. And this just wasn't, there's too many other good ones that deserve the higher ratings for me than that. But it's still definitely a watch. Like, I wouldn't be like, you shouldn't watch it. It's not worth it. It's worth the watch, just not worth the obsession to me.
Okay. Yeah. I get it. Because like I said, this movie is not for everyone. It's for certain people who like certain things.
Cool people.
And that's it. Yeah. So with that being said, I give it like a 95.
Like, wow.
This is one of my This is one of those ones that, like, I just have one in the background all the time. So
very, very little wiggle room for perfection there.
Yeah, I don't really think there's anything else they could have did differently. Like Jenna mentioned, like, she wanted to see more be gore or stuff like that. Like, I think the way this movie went, it was he did it perfectly. Like, you don't need to see it. Like, you just know what's going. It's just a good movie, man. Like, the cinematography. If anybody's into any kind of photography or anything like that, you see the way this movie is shot, and it just fucking beautiful, and all the natural light, all the time and shit they spent to make sure the time of day, you know, they strategically filmed on, you know, certain times of the day. Like, it's just fucking crazy how good it looks.
So what would be the thing that give it 100? Is it like the sound thing? Because I know you agreed with that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to say anything's like 100% perfect, you know what I mean? But it's up there, man. Yeah, that's a good
point, though. Why not?
Why not? I don't really know. I don't really think anything would give it 100. I don't know. I don't think I'll give any movie 100. There's nothing perfect in life. It's a good movie, man. Like, I have like 5 movies that are like my favorites, and I will give them all 95s, and that's it.
I don't know. I feel like I give some 100.
Really? Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is one of my favorites.
It's got
so.
Johnny Depp in it.
Yeah, this is.
I was gonna say Sleepy Hollow. Uh
huh. Yeah, this.
Or Sweeney Todd.
This movie is
Todd Sweeney.
Definitely up there for me. So.
I would not be mad if they showed that.
All hail Black Phillip.
All hail Black Phillip.
All right. With all that being said, I think we'll close it out. I think next week, next episode, we are going to cover the fairly new film called The Black Phone. And actually, none of us have ever seen it, so this will be new to all of us. So we all might hate it, we all might love it, some might, you know, maybe split. So, kind of interesting. Yeah, so with that being said, you follow us on Instagram on Hell's Basement Podcast. If you have anything cool, good, bad to say, hellsbasementpodcast@gmail.com. If you could leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts, that would always help. Yeah, anything else, guys?
Live deliciously. Yeah.
Gonna put my coloring book away till next time.
Okay, sounds good. All hail Black
Brady.